From the book of Nehemiah, if you've got your Bibles, you could read with me. I want to say again that we appreciate having you here with us tonight. I always appreciate every one of you that comes. Some of you have to drive a little ways to come to be with us. But I really appreciate you from my heart. Appreciate you being here with us. And thank God for every one of you. I thank God for every sacrifice and every effort that you make. Some of you have made great sacrifices in the past, and I'm very grateful. I don't forget it. The Bible said God is not forgetful of our labor in the Lord. I remember Brother Frank Rutter. I was thinking about him the other day. Frank is not with us right now, but he's made great sacrifices for God in some things, and I really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. Things that you've done in the past. You may say, well, Brother Pike has forgotten it, and God's forgotten it. He's only interested in what the others are doing now or what you're going to do. No, that's not true. I remember so very well them that have labored with me so faithfully, and God has not forgotten it. You've worked hard, done everything you could in the behalf of the kingdom of God, some of you have. And I'm very grateful. I'm very thankful. I appreciate you and esteem you very highly for your labor and work sake. But I do believe, Christian friend, that there is no stopping place, that we must fight the battle until it's won, quit like a man when the job is done. And I feel like that we've got to do a job for God. We've got to go on and we've got to do the job for God. So what you have done will only be rewarded by God if you hold fast your faith and continue to do it. If you yield up your faith and you turn and do wickedly, the Bible said if you've done good, done righteously, and then you turn and do wickedly, all of your righteousness shall not be remembered. In your sins ye shall die. But if you do wickedly and turn and do righteously, all of your sins shall not be remembered. In your righteousness ye shall live. So then, let's keep doing good and holding fast to the end. In the fourth chapter of the book of Nehemiah, I want to read a little bit to you. We're going to talk to you just a little bit. I'd planned to get Glenn to minister to us tonight, but he must have had problems with the baby or something and had to step out. But maybe he'll be here over the weekend and talk to us some. From the first verse of the fourth chapter of the book of Nehemiah, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria, and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heap of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired, all of them together, to come to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said that they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore said I in the lower places, behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them, Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren and your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned, all of us, to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them helped both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeon, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which built on the wall, and they that bare burdens with those that laded every one with one of his hands, wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me, and I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God will fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them helped the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing. Now, that's reading the fourth chapter of the book of Nehemiah, and that's reading the entire chapter. There's two things that is really outstanding concerning the writings of Nehemiah here in this chapter. There are two things that really should be observed here, greatly observed here, to get the real context of what the Lord is telling us in the writings of Nehemiah. First of all, reading from the fourth chapter of Nehemiah, we are reading about the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. Now, some of you know the history of these writings. You know that after the 70 years of being carried away in Babylon, into Babylon, according to the words of the prophet, that there came a time that the people were to be liberated. After much suffering, after being under Nebuchadnezzar, and after being under Belshazzar and a number of others, and going through some very harsh things, having hung their harps on the willows and refused to sing to God anymore because they knew that they were a people in bondage and did not have an inspiration to sing. One day God looked down and found a man that was skillful in his understanding, that had applied himself to the work of God, and had a concern about the people of God. And through the man Daniel, God brought about a great deliverance. And when the time was expired, after having proven himself in Babylon by the hand of his mighty warrior Daniel, the time having been expired, then God began to move on a man's heart. Now I want you to notice this. All of a sudden, the cup bearer of Artaxerxes, suddenly he became very melancholy, as the king seemed to feel. And he said to Nehemiah, he said, what's the matter, Nehemiah? And he said, my heart is turned toward my homeland. And he said to Nehemiah, he said, what would you have? He was a very faithful man to the king, and the king loved him. He said, what would you have me to do, Nehemiah? And see, Nehemiah had been fasting. You know, when you really start fasting, no playing around now, but living a holy, clean, unadulterated life, and you start fasting and seeking God, all of a sudden something begins to happen. And Nehemiah had been fasting, and his countenance was changed. And even the king could tell that something was wrong. And when Nehemiah would come around, he could tell his countenance was not as it had been toward him and toward his duties. And so he said, what would you have me to do? Nehemiah said, I want to go back to my homeland. And I want to build up the fallen down house of David, so to speak. I want to build up the walls of Jerusalem.
They're all fallen down. My father's labor has perished. All of our forefathers, all of their labor is naught, and the people mock us. And we are people that have been dispersed because of our evil, because of not following leadership, because of not obeying Moses, not obeying David, not obeying the rulers. We've been scattered to the winds. And we are very homesick, and we are very tired and weary. And we want to go back and rebuild our homeland. And so then God began to move to fulfill the prophecy of Daniel. All of a sudden something began to take place, and the Holy Spirit began to move through the land. You know, there's nothing more wonderful than when the Holy Spirit begins to move through the land. Now then, all of our prayer, all of our fasting, all of our efforts is for one thing, and that is to get the Holy Spirit to move. If we do all of it and we do not get the Holy Spirit to move, then we have done nothing. Now, the Bible said, why have we fasted, say they? Oh, the Old Testament, many of them fasted, long fasted, but God would not hear them. And they said, wherefore have we fasted, and you have not heard us, saith the people to the Lord. Why have we fasted, and you have not heard us? See, they had fasted, but the Holy Spirit didn't move. They made great sacrifices. They sacrificed thousands of animals upon the altars, but the Holy Spirit didn't move. They said, why have we done all of this, and you've not heard us? The Lord said, put away from among you iniquity. Put away the iniquity. Do away with that. He said, and then I will hear you. Come out from among the world. Be a separate people, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So then, when we began to seek God, we want to cut ourselves off from the world. We want to quit being like the world. We don't want to be like the world, because God will not receive our sacrifice. He will not receive our efforts. If we come to church day after day, and we pray day after day, and if we fast day after day, if we build the churches, if we build the buildings, if we dedicate the land to Him, that's not enough. He wants our hearts clean. He wants our lives clean. He wants us to clean up. He wants us to separate ourselves from the world. See, the trouble with the evangelists out on the field today, they are not separated from the world. They've got their big tents. They've got their TV programs. They've got all of their fasting and praying and all of these things, but they've displeased God. See, God isn't in their arrangements. God is not with them. He said, I'll take away these shepherds that feed themselves, and I'll raise up shepherds after my own heart that'll have the message of God and the understanding of God and feed the people. Somebody that will give them my word. What God is interested in is not me nor you, nor us or somebody else. God is interested in His word. He's wanting to instill His word within the heart of the people, that His voice may speak to His people by His word. For if He can get control of His people by the word of God, in that God is the word, then He can control the people and lead the people to living fountains of water. He can brush the tears out of their eyes to where they'll never sigh and weep again. He can protect them from the evils of Satan. He can tell them where to go to evade the issues of evil through life and protect them. So then the reason the ministry of today has not built back the walls is because they've been very selfish. They want to be glamour boys. They want to be pretty boys. They want people to look at them. They want to look at them and follow them. They want money. They want prestige. They want to be something great in the eyes of the people, to be admired. And as far as the people, they're not concerned about the people. They have no concern about helping the people, healing the people and delivering the people and instilling the word of God into the people. That's not their concern. They want to work some kind of miracle so that the people will jump up and down and make a fuss over them. That's not what God is interested in. God never gave miracles for that purpose. The early church never worked miracles for that purpose. The Bible said, as it is written, I will return, saith the Lord, and build up the fallen down house of David. That's what they testified of in the early church. They wanted to build back up the fallen down house of David, that house that Solomon had built where God had put His presence. See, not a natural house, but a spiritual house. They wanted to build that house up because they knew that God was in the arrangements when that house was here on earth. And so then, that is the problem today. See, the people of today, the leaders of today, the ministry of today, they're not interested in building up the fallen down house of David. But I will return in the last days, saith God, and I will build up the fallen down house of David. How are we ever going to build up the fallen down house of David? By taking the lively stones and placing them together with the word of God, with a mortar that is put there to be used by the ministry for that purpose. Not this mortar the Bible speaks of, where they've daubed the walls with untempered mortar, man-made ideas and theology and programs. Not that. He said every one of these stones shall be destroyed and torn down that has been put together for their purpose and for money purpose and all these kind of things. Even the Jews experienced that back there. But he said a habitation for God, something that's built up into a holy habitation of praise, something to where we are built up that we might be a house, God's building, the writer said, that the Holy Spirit might move and fill the temple, and that the Spirit of God might cause the glory of God to shine forth from us in a great and a mighty way, as it did in the days of Moses. So then, that is what we're looking for. That is the great hour that is upon us. That is the great moment. We see that in types and shadows. As Jimmy Carter and the other people of the world, they're trying to come together for peace. Why? Did you know that Israel is crying peace? The papers published the articles. Brother James brought them to me the other night. Israel is beginning to say, let us have peace. The younger people are parading up and down the streets. And they're saying, let us have peace. You know why they want peace? They know that the hour is here to build back the temple of Solomon. And they know that when the temple of Solomon is built, God will come back to this earth. Amen. That he will be among his people again. For it is written that I will return, saith the Lord, in the latter times and build up the fallen down house of David. And then the presence of God shall fill the temple. So then that's the hour that we have here on hand now, or at hand. I preached a sermon the other night. I guess they played it on TV last night. The time is at hand. The time is at hand. See, the time is at hand for what? The time is at hand to build up the fallen down house of David. And who is the fallen down house of David? He said, when I come to make up my jewels, the lively stones that I'm going to put together, not by discipline, not by the Baptist doctrine, not by the Methodist doctrine, not by the Catholic doctrine, but I'm going to bind the stones together with the mortar of charity. And one's going to love another, and another's going to love the one. And they're going to be bonded together, brothers and sisters in Christ, that nothing can separate them from the love of God or from each other. They're not going to pierce each other through. They're not going to take up something against each other. But brothers and sisters, they're going to march like mighty men hand in hand and carry on the work of Christ. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is coming down. And when that building is built, when they make a sacrifice, they're going to lay it on the altars of God, and the Holy Spirit's going to come down and consume it. And it's going to be as it was in the earlier times, when the sacrifice was sweet unto God. Hallelujah. So then we see here in the book of Nehemiah, where he gets the vision. He starts fasting. He starts praying. He starts agonizing before God. The old king knows something is happening. My, what a beautiful picture. Here as he begins to fast and pray. Think now, for 70 long years, the Holy Spirit has not been moving among the people. That does not mean that the Holy Spirit was not down there in Babylon. The Holy Spirit was there with Daniel, showing him great things. See, when the Holy Spirit is lifted off of the church and everybody's having problems, that doesn't mean that God isn't around. But it simply means that the church isn't getting their refreshing. See, they're astray. They're going astray. And they're not obeying God. They're not obeying the leadership. They're not following Christ. But here they'd been in Babylon for a long time. For such a long time, they'd been down here in Babylon. Things were not well with them. Things were not going as it should have gone with them. There was something wrong. What was it? They had been cut off from the Holy Spirit. Cut off from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was not working in the church. They hang their harps on the willows. And they said, sing us a song. You know how they mocked Samson when they got him down there in the dungeon? They said to the children of Israel, said, come on, said, sing us a song. They said, how can we sing a song in a strange country? I'll tell you what you do. When the Holy Spirit separates himself from you momentarily, you try to sing a Christian song and see what it sounds like. But I'll tell you what, let the Holy Spirit come down. And when the Holy Spirit comes down and you begin to feel the illumination of the Holy Ghost, then sing a song unto God and watch the difference, my brother. What is it? See, it's a wonderful thing when the Christ of heaven begins to come into your midst. I am among you. He began to move 70 years because of rebellion. 70 years they had been cut off, was down there in Babylon, could not get to the waters of life. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit began to move. Nehemiah knew the time was at hand. He knew the hour of deliverance was at hand. He had read what the Word said. He believed what the Word of the prophet said. And he knew the time was at hand. And when the time came to hand, Nehemiah began to fast and pray and set his face toward God, because the hour of deliverance was at hand. And so then Nehemiah began to call on God. As he began to call on God, the Holy Spirit began to woo the people, began to move over the people. And when Nehemiah preached a message, they believed the words of Nehemiah. Brothers and sisters, unless God will anoint the congregation, unless God will anoint what you're saying, the people will not receive your words and honor and obey you and do the thing that you ask him to do. So then, Nehemiah began to pray. He began to fast. He began to call on God. The Holy Spirit came down, and those weary people began to take courage. And I could just picture in my mind as Nehemiah would say to them, "Folks, listen, let's go build back the walls of our father. Let's go build them back." And I imagine the people looked at Nehemiah and thought, "Why, Nehemiah, you must be out of your mind. Here we are, a bunch of poor people, been in bondage for 70 years, haven't even got enough to take care of ourselves. And you're talking about building a city back." But see, old Nehemiah had already fasted and prayed, and he had tapped on to God. And he had done got in touch with heaven. And he was in touch with the king. And what they did not know was that he obtained favor with the king. And the king had said, "Go to the king's forest and get whatever you need to build back the walls of that city." Hallelujah. Well, Nehemiah already had things lined up when he went over there. He began to make an expose of all the great things that God had put in his heart. And he said, "Listen, I've got the king's favor." Hallelujah. The Bible says that God holds the king's heart in his hand, and he turns it whithersoever he will, like the rivers of water. And Nehemiah found favor with the great king. And Artaxerxes had turned everything over to the hands of Nehemiah. So then he said, "Come on, folks. I've got favor with the king. I'm not just out here just going to build buildings for nothing. I'm not going to start a campground just to see if we can get one as big as somebody else. I'm not going to build a church just to see how pretty it is." Oh, somebody said, "Oh, Brother Pike's out there trying to do this and trying to do that. Oh, there's nothing to it." But let me tell you something, my friend. I had a vision. God gave me a vision. I got in touch with God. I got in touch with Christ, and he told me what to do. And he stood by me. They mocked. Did you know when Nehemiah started, they mocked on Nehemiah. They really mocked him. You know, the police came around. Sure, the sheriffs came around. All of them came around. The half-breeds came around. They mocked on Nehemiah. They said, "The walls that you're building, they're going to fall down." Didn't they tell us the same thing? Said, "Why, if a fox runs across the top of them, they're going to fall down." But I'll tell you what, when they began to try to get into that city after Nehemiah built it, they found them with some of the strongest walls that's ever been built. Hallelujah! Glory to God. The Bible said, if you try to keep the city and God's not in it, you labor in vain. But if Christ be in it, my brother and sister, then God will bless you, and he'll put the fear upon all the people. No, Nehemiah, he began to labor. He began to labor. And Sanballat and Tobiah, the Ammonites, the Arabians, all of them rose up against him. And they come out and they begin to war against him. And it looked like they couldn't do anything. Hallelujah. Oh, that makes me feel at home. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They warred against him. Old Nehemiah said, "Take your sword in one hand and get your biscuit in the other." Hallelujah. Eat a bite and lay it down. Pick up your trowel and lay a brick. Hallelujah. He said, "We're going to whip the devil." How do you believe we'll whip the devil? Hallelujah. When the police pounced on us out here, and I went up there and said to their face, his brother Arthur said, "I'll tell them to their face and let God take care of their heart." I told them to their face. I said, we're going to do it. You're giving us trouble. We can't carry on our work out there because of your interference. But I'll tell you what, since God's been turning their little red card upside down and they've been having wrecks and people been killing the police and the place has been robbed up there and now $1 million charge against the sheriff, they know that God is with us. They withdraw from us and quit troubling us. Nehemiah said, we're going to do it for Christ's sake. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. And so then Nehemiah said, come on, fellas, let's take courage. They come up against him and they tried to discourage him. But the Bible said the people had a mind to work. Oh, if we could get a mind to work, what could we do for God? The Bible said, labor that you might have to give to God. Brothers and sisters, if we had a mind to work, we could build back the walls for Jesus. But we're going to have a mind to work. And you know another thing that Nehemiah said. He said, folks, let's coordinate. Let's follow leadership. Let's work together. Let's be one unit. Let's don't be scattered everywhere. He said, if your work causes you to be on this wall, and my work causes me to be on this wall, he said, when that trumpet sounds, wherever the designated place is, for the sounding of that trumpet, let's gather ourselves together and go as one. Hallelujah. One in Christ. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. I'm glad I got these balls on here when I get excited. Gives me a soft landing. Hallelujah. So then Nehemiah said, let's build the walls back. I'll tell you what, he got his point over. Praise God, he proved to him, Brother James, that he could build the walls. Somebody no doubt said, look at here, fella, are you an engineer? When have you ever built a building? Oh, you can't do that. But old Nehemiah kept on believing God. God picked up Moses and put him out there in the wilderness to build a commonwealth. I know that a lot of people questioned what he did. They couldn't believe that it was going to be God, but it was God, and God brought it to pass. Believe also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. For all of the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. Hallelujah! Glory to God. And amen, amen, and amen! Jesus will do it! All of his promises are amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God, Moses got out there, and God said, now don't fear, Moses. Oh, don't fear. He said, I've done put the knowledge in the heart of Bezalel. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Glory to God, I'll give you an apple if you need one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some people's got an atlas, some's got an atlas, you know. All right. So then we can build the world. I will put it in the hearts of them that labor with you. Hallelujah. I'll give you somebody to help you. I'll raise up a Wayne. He'll help you. Amen. Glory to God. I'll give you a Gary Armstrong. He'll help you. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I will raise up those that will stand by you, Nehemiah. And we'll do the job for Christ. Just one thing is requested. Nehemiah, let him have a mind to work. Don't bother with people that don't have a mind to work. Get you somebody that has a mind to work. And when the trumpet sounds, Nehemiah, call them together, have one unit, one Lord, one faith, one God, one baptism. Amen. Don't be scattered. Come on now. I said, don't be scattered. If you're on that wall over there, the Bible said all of you speak the same thing. If Brother Pike's on this wall over here and he's speaking one thing, my brother, when you're on that wall, you speak the same thing. Hallelujah. If I'm preaching one doctrine over here, you preach the same doctrine. Let us be one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you're out there on the job and you're doing something out there on the job, my beloved friend, when you're building or whatever you're doing, when you're meeting the public, when you're in the stores, when you're having your dealings, let's be one unit. Let's be one power. Let's be one people. Let's stand for the things of God. It's like a man said the other day. He made the statement. He said, you know, said I might ought to come out to Bethlehem myself. He's talking to some of our brethren. He said, I might change and become a better feller. You know, judging from the way the fellas was or are. Like a letter, I believe it Betty was telling me about yesterday. Was it yesterday? A letter. We received a letter from Atlanta, Georgia. And somebody said, Brother Pike, said, I can't send you an offering. Said, but I sure would hate to see your program go off the radio. Said, if you just hold on, I will. See, we haven't asked for an offering. But that's thoughtful, isn't it? He knows that everybody pleads for an offering to stay on there. and he was wanting us to stay on. He's going to give us some support. Hallelujah. He said it's really doing something for him. Hallelujah. People write us such wonderful letters. Got a letter out of Monroe. Fellow said, be sure and to pray for him. He lives somewhere near Monroe. All around the country received letters of all kinds saying that we should pray for them, that we should believe with them, that we should be part of them, and they want to be part of us because they want to build the walls back. We've got a job to do. I want to build the walls back. I want to see the coming of the Holy Spirit. I want to see the power of God fill the temple. The train of the Lord fill the temple. And the pillars moved. Glory to God, that's what we need when the Holy Ghost begins to move. How do you know that we're pillars in the temple of God? When the Holy Spirit begins to move about, pillars begin to shake, begin to move. Amen. Old Samson caught a hold of the pillars and the pillars begin to move. That's right, when the strength of God comes, if you're a pillar in God's temple, the Holy Ghost will move you about. Amen. That temple will stand there, but he'll move the pillars of his temple. He that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Somebody said, well, I'm afraid the Lord won't remember me. He said, I've engraved you in the palms of my hand that I might have remembrance of you. Hallelujah, the nails in his hand in the Old Testament. He said, brethren, I will not forget you. Though a mother forget her child, I'll never forget you. He said, for I have engraved you in the palms of my hand that I might remember you. Isn't that wonderful? Since when has a daddy or mother ever engraved a child in the palm of their hands to make a remembrance? But he loved you so much, he laid the hands out, the feet out, and the nails pierced him. And he said, this is my remembrance of you, so that I will never forget you. No wonder he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. My lands, brother, when you think of a God like that, how in the world could he ever forget you? Let's remember him. If God's going to remember us like that, why can't we remember him? Why shouldn't we remember him? Somebody say, I love Jesus. Let's remember God. The Bible said in the latter times, every nation will say, I've forgotten my God. Let us go up to the house of the Lord. Let us go up and let us repent. Let us straighten our lives out. Let him teach us of his ways. Hallelujah. God is so good. Hallelujah. So the Nehemiah said, we're going to build these walls back. Sanballat said, you can't do it. Said, we're going to do it anyway. You know, I want to say this right hurriedly in closing. I'm not going to keep you long tonight, but listen. You know, you might have cancer. You might have tuberculosis. You might have broken down nerves. You might have been in a mental institution. Doesn't matter what it is. God has the power of deliverance. God will heal your body. God will deliver you. The Bible said he sent his word and his word healed them. And brothers and sisters, if we will take the word of God like Nehemiah did and not question the word of God, but take the word of God in its unadulterated form, God will heal your body. God will deliver you. Hallelujah. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, he might deliver some others, but God wants to heal you. Let that soak in for a minute. Now who am I talking to? You. Jesus said, what I say unto one, I say unto all. All of you, I say it to all of you. God wants to heal you. He wants you to be healthy, you to be strong, you to be up, you to be about your Father's business. How many believe that's true? So then let's do something for God. Let's build the walls back. Come and labor with me. Come and labor with me spiritually, naturally, whatever it takes. Let's join together and build the walls for Christ. Let's be one, folks. Let's fight with our sword in our hand. We have to eat a biscuit on the job. Let's eat a biscuit on the job. Have you ever done that? Yeah, I've done it a lot of times. Be too far away from home to get a biscuit anywhere else. Eat it on the job. My wife already prepared it, so I have it when I got there. See, I ain't got to run home every day at dinner and get 2 hours of lunch. Have you? Who eats 2 hours at a time? Now, like somebody I had over here working one day and they might not ought to say this, but I guess I will. They said, you're going to help me. It took them all morning to get started. Once they got started and got everything ready to go, they had to leave for a while. And about 4 that evening, I believe it was, they got back. I was out of mind to work. Now, they had a mind, that's for sure, but it wasn't a mind to work. It wasn't a mind to help. See, come early, stay late, do nothing. That ain't right.
Come early, work hard, stay late.
And your wife will do you like mine did last night, the night before last.
I was working. I said, honey, don't you worry. I'm going to come home early tonight.
She said, I'll see you in the morning.
I thought, well, I'll show her.
So sure enough, it worked out the way she thought. Over in the morning, I said, I'm hungry. And somebody went down there to get me a sandwich, and she wrote a little note. And she said, honey, I love you. I said, I'll see you in the morning.
But that's all right. That's all right.
Just have your work clothes on when you leave home, and your wife won't worry about you.
Everything will be all right.
If you'll come and labor with us, God will do something for you.
Let's stand together. God bless you. I appreciate you. Now, on a message like this, we could preach for 2 or 3 hours without any trouble. 2 or 3 hours we could preach to you. But I kept you quite a while before I ever started ministering to you tonight. I talked to you about the children and tried to work with the little folks a little bit so that we could catch it on video. And I was trying to help all that I can, try to work with them as much as I can. One thing I don't like to do is that is scold my people. I don't like to do that, but I know that I have to do it to break the atmosphere down that's so hard. You know, it's like walking into an icy room, cold and chilly. You got to get a little heat in there to thaw everything out. And then after that, everybody comes to life. So that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to throw you out a little bit, help you along the road of life. Don't forget us tomorrow now. We need some help. We need some help. We want you to come help us. I wouldn't ask you to do this, but you told me, you said, Brother Pike, I want to help you. And camp meeting is coming. Like Brother Arthur said today, Brother Arthur said, Brother Pike, it may seem to be a long time to camp meeting. He said, but when you stop and consider it, he said, it's only about 1 month. He said, because July the 4th, said it starts July the 4th, and you don't have but about a month in between May and July, and that's June. And I say April, May, June, that's right, June. So then he said, we don't have very long. And do this for me. Please, listen to me. If you got something to do for God, don't put God off till the last minute. And I said, well, Brother Pike, I've got this to do and that to do, and I must do this at home, and I must pay this bill, and I must do this. And then after that, we are going to do something for God. You are going to die and be lost. See, God don't want your leftovers. He doesn't need your skill. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need you. You need Him. He is offering you an opportunity to do something. But the Bible said, don't bring to me the halt, the lame, and the blind. I'm a great God. Take it to your governors. See if your governors will receive it. Said, bring me something without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Don't come and offer to me after you've done something for yourself and everybody else. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His welfare, His righteousness, His way of life, to do something for Him and His people. And then after you've done that, then go do whatever you want to do. But many of you are putting God off to the last minute. The last minute you're going to do something for God. It's going to be like buying your tag. The last day is going to be gone and you ain't going to be able to make it to the window. You just watch and see. You keep putting God off. And after a while, the window's going to close before you can ever get yours in. So I tell you what, it's better that you come on now and do something for God. Do something for God first. And then after you've done something for God, then go do whatever you want to and God will bless you because all the other will be added unto you. You wives better push on that husband a little bit. You know, husbands have a tendency to get lazy. How many of you know that? Say something to him. Say, honey, why are you so lazy? So I didn't marry you like that. Because some of you might have married him like that. You can't expect no better. So you had a job when I married you, or you at least promised to get one. Why are you so lazy? Why don't you do something? Why don't you get out and work? Somebody said, well, I ain't got nothing to give, Brother Pike. That's because you're lazy. The Bible said labor that you might have to give. The reason you don't have anything is because you're not doing any labor. They had a mind to work. I know some of you fellas that they've offered you a job and you won't take it. Somebody else give you a job and you work 2 or 3 days and you say you just can't work on that job. So you join up with somebody else and you say, well, I just can't work on that job. But I'll tell you what, a working man will work anywhere. Did you know that? If it's a matter of feeding his wife and feeding his little babies, he'll work anywhere because he's a working man. A lazy man ain't going to work nowhere. All right, so labor that you might have to give. Come. No, your wife ain't been talking to me. She ain't been talking to me. Some of you look at me just like you think that the wife come over and told Sister Betty, and Sister Betty told me all about it. I don't even know you're out of a job unless the Lord tells me. But let's labor together. Let's labor together. I need your help. And while I need your help, give it to me. See, because there'll come a time when I won't need your help. There'll come a time when God won't need your help. But we've still got a little bit to do at Bethlehem here. So you come and give us your help so that we can use you. Already it's getting to where we don't have need for near as many. So you come on, you press in, you do something. All right. I haven't forgotten. I said I was going to let you go. I am. You love Jesus? All right. Let's just slip our hands up and pray. And then after that, we'll have a little course here and I'll let you go home. Just lift your hands up to heaven. While you got your hands lifted up and your eyes closed, I know you that have little children in your arms, you can't. But your hearts can be lifted up. Now, just say, Lord Jesus, who am I? Like the song said, who am I that a king should come and die for? Who am I? Lord, I'm but the offscouring of the earth. Lord, you could have used anybody outside of me. All that I ever done, Jesus, would not even amount to filthy rags as far as my efforts. It would not total filthy rags in your sight. But dear God, I'm trusting in the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. And I'm trusting in the spilt blood. And all of my efforts, Jesus, is but to say thank you that I love you. That's just my way of saying thank you. I love you, Jesus. All of my efforts is not to have tried to obtain your favor, Jesus. Because I know that I have your favor by faith through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus. But all that I'm doing, Jesus, all that I'm doing just to say I thank you and I appreciate you. And I love you for what you've done for me. For you've done so much for me and I've done so little for you. But Lord of heaven, if you will help me, if you will strengthen me, if you will stand by me, Lord, I promise you that I'll make an effort. I promise you, Jesus, that I'll withdraw from my old carnal way of thinking, that I'll try to do something even the more, Jesus, to be spiritual. Paul said, I would that you be spiritual. I would that you were spiritual, so I would speak unto you as spirituals. But seeing that you're babes in Christ, I cannot. Therefore, just desire the sincere milk of the word, that being babes, in that you might grow thereby. For the meat is for the strong, they who have by reason exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. See, but he said, pray to God. Pray to God, people. All of you that I'm talking to, that can hear my voice. He said, pray to God that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Why does God want the church to have the spirit of revelation? Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. You know the reason for that is because God is a spirit. And the way that he speaks to us is by revealing little things here and there to us. Opening up little things allegorically. Testifying to us through the little things that we see through life. Everything being an expose of the glory of God as things reveal itself to us. Christ coming out of the veil. The God of spirit. The word making himself known as a quickening to our heart and mind. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Why do we need it? Because that is the power of translation. The men that received it went up into the heavens. Went up to the heavens. John received it. He went up into heaven. Paul received it. He went up into the heaven. Moses received it. He went up into the heavens. Pray that God will grant it unto you. Let's labor together. Let's love one another. Let's search for it more than gold and silver. The Bible said, search for understanding and knowledge more than gold and silver. Call it your kinsman. Call it your kinsman. Make it your kinsman. I want to pray with you while your hands are lifted up. While your hearts are lifted up. Jesus said, when you pray, believe. I want to put my faith with your faith. I want to strengthen your arms and hands in Christ Jesus by the word of the Lord. Whatever you desire, if it's a ministry, if it's deliverance, if it's a gift, healing, if it's
that which God has promised, whereas the Bible said, God, the blessing of the Lord maketh the rich and addeth no sorrow. God will make us to ride upon the high places of the earth, feed us with the heritage of Jacob. Whatever you desire, Christian friend, I want you to believe. I want you to believe. And when I pray, I'm going to believe with you. All of the requests that we've had from people by mail and from abroad, from radio programs and whatever, I'm going to pray from day to day for those people, believing that God will do something for them. I have been praying for them, and God is blessed. As Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord by not praying for his people or the people. I'm going to lift my hands with you, and I want you to believe. Remember, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, you might say, Brother Pike, I don't need anybody to pray with me. You know what? If you think that you can handle it by yourself, that's positive proof that you need somebody. You really need somebody. Any man, any woman that would have the feeling that they do not need their brother's prayers, they are a wretch to begin with. Their heart's not even right with God to begin with. We need one another. The body of the living God. We're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need one another. The Bible tells us to submit ourselves one to another. We should never take the outlook that we don't have to submit to anybody. Submit to one another, my beloved friend. Every person must submit one to another as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the body of the Lord. You cannot even be part of the church if you don't do that. That's why so many are being rejected right now. It's because they have refused to submit to anybody. And God has despised them and spit upon them, spiritually speaking. And he has despised them and rejected them because of the way that they have done. And the Bible said they are an abomination in his sight. Remember, we need our brothers and sisters. We need one another. We need your prayer. Paul, the great apostle, that said nobody adds anything to me in conference, though they might seem to be somewhat, turned around and said, pray for me that doors will be open unto me. He had confidence in the prayers of his brothers and sisters. Father, Lord of heaven, I lift my hands to thee. I feel the mighty Holy Ghost. And my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Hallelujah. Oh God, I speak to thee tonight in the behalf of your sheep. For we know that thou art the chief shepherd. And dear God, that when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall give us a crown that fadeth not away. I ask you tonight, great and mighty chief shepherd, I ask you to heal tonight. I ask you to heal these people, Jesus. Father, move every disease out of their body. And Father, heal tonight. And break the yoke tonight, Father. And take away every disturbance of the heart and of the mind. Father, heal their bodies. Forgive their sins. Father, you said you would give them the desires of their heart. And dear God, you said, whoever I bless shall be blessed. And whoever I cursed would be cursed. Whosoever sins I remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins I retain shall be retained. Whatever I bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, Father. And dear God, by faith in the spilt blood of Calvary, I loose these people's sins that hear and believe. I loose them in the name of Jesus that they might be loosed from these sins in the day of the judgment. Dear God, I loose them from their infirmities and their sicknesses, God. I loose them from the powers of evil that would trample down the minds of humanity. I loose them in the name of Jesus. I speak healing, Father. I speak deliverance and healing to these people. I ask you to heal. I ask you to take away every sickness, every poverty, every disease, and everything, God, that would hamper their faith. I ask you to do it. Guide them, protect them, deliver them. Keep them safe in Jesus' name. Let the blessing of the Lord make them rich. Let them ride upon the high places of the earth. For you said you would above all things that they prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospereth. I ask it in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus Christ. I believe it, Father. Amen. I believe it. I believe you did it. When you pray, believe that you receive
Whatever you're asking for and whatever you ask for, you shall receive it. Always believe that you receive when you ask. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. That is, if he asketh in faith. All right. Let's sing a little chorus together. I appreciate your time tonight and your patience. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Can you sing it one more time with me? There is room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. There is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Bow your heads with me. I'm going to ask our brother Taylor to come dismiss us in a word of prayer. Don't forget me tomorrow. Try to come early and be with us. I'm asking you to try to come early. Don't wait till way over in the day. Don't use an excuse. Come on and try to do something for the kingdom of God. I'll be looking for you to come. And when you come, I'll be looking for you to give us a helping hand, brothers and sisters.